Welcome to the Gay Buddhist Forum, where teachers from all schools of Buddhism offer their perspectives on the Dharma and its application in modern times, especially for LGBTQI audiences. These talks are offered freely to the world and made possible by appreciative listeners. If you would like to support our efforts to share the Dharma with underserved audiences, please visit gaybuddhist.org. There you can donate, find a list of upcoming speakers, or enjoy many hundreds of these recorded talks dating back to 1996.
Introduce themselves to each other. It can be easy to dash up our names, we dash up our signature as we calm ourselves down after sharing. Can't really think about our bodies, so I would invite you to use this as a chance to reconsider the name that you have. Whether it's one you gave yourself, or one you were stuck with from birth. Whether you like it, or you don't. And feel free to say your first, or your first and last name. I'll start. My name is Dean Bellaby.
My name is Douglas.
My name is Oscar Sagimoya.
My name is Peter.
My name is Andrew.
My name is Michael.
My name is Paul.
My name is Charlie.
My name is Robert.
My name is John.
My name is Aaron Kaltz.
My name is Howard Duncan DePort.
Baruch Golden.
My name is Ray Dyer.
My name is Lee Robbins.
I'm Jim.
Jim Stewart.
I'm Tomas.
My name is Stephen Blumenthal.
Peter.
My name is David Axel.
My name is Harv Wooten.
I'm Bill Childs.
And I'm Scott Davis.
Rick.
My name is Pierre.
Adrian Tiller.
I'm Robert.
My name is Tad.
I'm Richard.
I'm Jack Busby.
And I'm Larry Wish.
Did we get everybody's names?
I'm Paul Shepherd.
Oh, not Clark.
My name is George. I'm from San Jose.
Dear Mr. Bellaby, I've just started to get your newsletter, though I'm not a gay man. I still have compassion for my fellow human being. One of the reasons why I decided to get your newsletter was because of all the gay men I've encountered. They were always insightful and upfront. With that in mind, I subscribed to your newsletter. I can say that I've not one complaint. Now on to why I write. In your June-July issue, I see on the calendar you have Poetry Day on July 27th. Saying that you can bring a poem or prose selection that captures something you want to share with the men of GBF. Happy is he who is forever faced with the hour of his death and prepares himself for the end every day. This is a quote that I lived by during the first 9 years of my imprisonment while I was on Texas death row. As an 18-year-old immature kid, I only thought that I had to live. Live what was left of my countdown to death. So in living, I prepared for death, knowing I did all I could in my limited confinement. As Thich Nhat Hanh says, mindfulness is a kind of energy that helps us to be aware of what is going on. I was mindful, but mindful of my limited life, so I partook in the wrong liberation of my last days on earth. As it is, I was granted a commune of my death sentence to life, and I made a promise to myself to really enjoy life. During this time, I came upon a book called Be Free Where You Are by Thich Nhat Hanh, in which he states, there is no happiness without freedom, and freedom is not given to us by anyone. We have to cultivate it ourselves. Once I was able to apply that to my daily life, I really, after almost 12 years of being locked up, am able to say I am free. I'll close with this and I'm gone. I was sent to death row a child and grew into the man I am now, who others look to for support and structure. But out of this hell, I've become free. My freedom, which once I thought was a given, isn't but a shame, an ill-conceived thought I had in my mind of where I was able to go and do. Never could I fathom that if one isn't spiritually and mentally free, then he isn't. He's just a slave in sightless chains. I've become very mindful of my walk, talk, the very air I breathe, but only through awakening did I become aware of my freedom. Stop, my fellow man, woman, and child. Stop, I implore you to be free. Truly, from Ansel K. Jones, Telford Unit, New Boston, Texas. I think that's probably as good an introduction as anything to Poetry Day. So the floor is open. Whoever wants to share something, a reading, a song, anything you've written or anything you like from anyone else, feel free. And if you want to explain or describe why that resonates with you, that would be lovely too.
I brought a poem that I wrote. It's a love poem, a same-sex love poem. And fun to read here because it's also about non-duality. It rhymes. I never wrote in rhyme before. It rhymes at the end of all the lines except at the very, very end where your ears will not hear any rhyme but your mind will. So you could even say it rhymes at the end. And there's a head note which you could tell on paper because it's in italics, but it's just 6 lines by Rumi. He says, if I look at you, I see my own image. If I look at my own, I see yours, a flame. I have thrown duality away like an old dish rag. I see and know all times and worlds as one, one, always one. And my poem is called One and One. The ocean was only steps away, but your eyes were deeper, more blue. No sea of troubles there this day, only kindness swelling, and so I swam in you. I saw in your eyes my own surprise, when your caress touched the aloneness I had invented. And as my loneliness relented, your eyes began welling, an ocean in a single drop that reached a shelf, came to a stop, spilled onto your cheek, sadness turning itself to joy, or so to speak, since joy and sadness were, through tears, a blur. If I shrank or if my spirit sank, you were a buoy, allowing no breach between a boy and a boy. We let hearts preside until we were as wide as San Gregorio Beach. The sky loved us that day. I could not say where my skin ended and the sun's embrace began, or how much your touch mended a hurt place as we lay cradled in the sand. Clouds looked like a spine that seemed to invite us to walk hand in hand with the divine. The wind wanted to sing, but we didn't fly our kite. I flew myself instead and let go of the string when you said, This arithmetic was new. One and one is one.
This is a song I wrote, or that I think was actually gifted to me. It came to me one day. And I did a vision quest about 3 years ago, and Spirit said to sing this song every day of my life, and I do, and it brings me great joy. So I'll share it with you. It's called Sun Song. My brother the sun, he shines on me. He gives me hope, and I am free. All through the day, under his glare, inside and outside, he's everywhere. And I know that his love is strong, and with his love I know that I belong. I am a piece of the earth and sky. I am a part of everything alive. Oh, I am a piece of the earth and sky. I am a part of everything alive.
I have one by Mary Oliver called Wild Geese. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about your despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear petals of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese high in the clean blue air are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things.
A young dead soldier. Over there, down away, in the woods where once the oak and birch trees stood, a young man moves out, surveys the field, hiding wisely while bushes conceal. But an enemy spots him, tracks his young gang, has him firm in his gun sight, wonders his name. See the flash of the bullet spark through the dust, the spot where it enters, a death song, a fuss. His young target falls, he bleeds as he sighs. He will bake in the sun with bright staring eyes, serenaded by crickets and tasted by flies. O Lord in your heaven, suffer the brave, crazy wars, crazy people. Is there no one to save such beauty, such fear, as they twist to their graves?
I have two short pieces to read, one by me, one by Gay Hendricks, and as I've been thinking about it, they're one by me is sort of about the two levels of Buddhist reality. The one by me is kind of the ultimate level, and the one by Gay Hendricks is about the philosophical level, and the one by Gay Hendricks is about the practical or applied Buddhism. So I wrote this in 1992. I made some revisions in 2001. It's entitled Thoughts on Enlightenment, Perhaps Enlightening Thoughts. If duality is illusion, ego a mirage, and existence falsehood, if unity is truth, as many spiritual paths and mystical practices, both Christian and Eastern, suggest, then the realization attained at the end of arduous practice and many lifetimes of effort can only be a paradox, meaning that none of it was needed, that we were there at the beginning. All the effort served simply to teach us that none of it was necessary. Nowhere to get to, nothing to do, present moment, perfect. And the other one by Gay Hendricks, who's not gay, but it's gay sensibility, he and his wife are perhaps the best teachers and workshop leaders on relationships that I know of, and it certainly got me back into a relationship. And so my partner and I read a section from this book every day. It's a day book, A Year of Living Consciously, 365 daily inspirations for creating a life of passion and purpose. And it's been extraordinarily helpful for us, both for our own relationship and for our own lives, and even for our work lives. So I just picked out a day. This happens to be January 16th. And it starts with a quote. I have an everyday religion that works for me. Love yourself first and everything falls into line, by Lucille Ball. And then it goes on, loving yourself is your biggest gift to others. On the surface, it might seem like loving yourself is a selfish act, but it is actually the ultimate act of selfless giving. Egotism and bragging, for example, are so painful to behold because they are signs of self-hatred, not self-love. They are desperate attempts to call attention to yourself after you have sunk into self-loathing. One moment of genuine self-love can result in a lifetime of compassionate contribution to others. One of my friends, a yoga teacher and single parent with several children, told me, if I take a few moments in meditation each day to resonate with myself, I can do things all day with and for my kids. But if I don't take a little time for me each day, I end up feeling resentful about all the demands they make. We can all take a hint from her discovery. Many times in my own life, I have gotten mired in relationship conflicts only to realize after a while the conflict had nothing to do with the other person. When you love the unlovable parts of yourself, your anger, fear, grief, or whatever else, problems with the other person clears up. And then they each end with a conscious living practice for today. This one is, take 5 or 10 minutes to yourself today. Don't do anything. Just sit and be. Appreciate yourself for simply being you. Realize, if I don't take wonderful care of myself, who will?
At the Corner Store by Alison Luterman. He was a new old man behind the counter, skinny and eager. He greeted me like a long-lost daughter, as if we both came from the same world, someplace warmer and more gracious than this cold city. I was thirsty and alone, sick at heart and grief-soiled. And his face lit up as if I were his prodigal daughter, returning, coming back to the freezer bins in front of the register, which were still and always filled
with the same old cable car ice cream sandwiches and cheap frozen greens. Back to the knobs of beef and packages of hot dogs. These familiar shelves strung with potato chips and corn chips, stacked up beer boxes, and immortal Jim Beam. I lumbered to the case and brought my precious bottled water, and he returned my change, beaming, as if I were the bright new buds on the just bursting open cherry trees, as if I were everything beautiful struggling to grow. And he was blessing me as he handed me my dime over the counter and the plastic tub of red licorice whips. This old man, who didn't speak English, beamed out love to me in the iron week after my mother's death, so that when I emerged from his store, my whole cockeyed life, what a beautiful failure, glowed gold like a sunset after rain. Frustrated city dogs were yelping in their yards, mad with passion behind their chain-link fences, and in the driveway of a peeling paint house, a woman and a girl danced a contagious reggae. Praise Allah, Yah, the Buddha, Kuan Yin, Jesus, Mary, and even jealous old Jehovah, for eyes, hands of the divine everywhere.
I didn't realize today was Poetry Day, so I was unable to bring a poem, but this has come up in me. Oh, 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 oh.
The summer day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who's eating sugar out of my hand, who's moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who's gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me what else I should have done. Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is the plan? What is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Ben Mary Oliver.
I have a little bit of, I think it's a poetic prose by Ben Okri, the novel I'm reading from him. And when I was exploring the book, you know, I generally read the first page, and I read the first paragraph about the book. And so I want to share that with you. Because so often it feels like we're in it. In the beginning, there was a river. The river became a road, and the road branched out to the whole world. Because the road was once a river, it was always hungry. In that land of beginnings, spirits mingled with the unborn. We could assume numerous forms. Many of us were birds. We knew no boundaries. There was much feasting, playing, and sorrowing. We feasted much because of the beautiful terrors of eternity. We played much because we were free. And we sorrowed much because there were always those amongst us who had just returned from the world of the living. They had returned inconsolable for all the love that they had left behind, all the suffering they hadn't redeemed, all that they hadn't understood, and for all that they had barely begun to learn before they were drawn back to the land of origins. There was not one amongst us who looked forward to being born. We disliked the rigors of existence, the unfulfilled longings, the enshrined injustices of the world, the labyrinths of love, the ignorance of parents, the fact of dying, and the amazing indifference of the living in the midst of the simple beauties of the universe. We feared the heartlessness of human beings, all of whom were born blind, few of whom ever learned to see. So I bought the book.
I was short poem by Hafiz. If God invited you to a party and said, "Everyone in the ballroom tonight is my special guest," how would you treat them when you arrive? Indeed, indeed, Hafiz knows there is no one on this planet who is not dancing upon his bejeweled dance floor.
I have a poem by Rumi that has spoken to me so much about my compulsions to repress my emotions. And so this poem has meant a lot to me. If you can't go to sleep, my dear soul, for tonight, what do you think will happen? If you pass your night and merge it with dawn for the sake of heart, what do you think will happen? If the entire world is covered with the blossoms you have labored to plant, what do you think will happen? If the elixir of life that has been hidden in the dark fills the desert and towns, what do you think will happen? If because of your generosity and love, a few humans find their lives, what do you think will happen? Go, my friend, bestow your love even on your enemies. If you touch their hearts, what do you think will happen?
Associated with being fairly dark and brooding, and yet I read his diaries as well as letters to a couple of women who he kind of had furtive but avoided kind of connections with, and discovered this in those writings. He said, "You do not need to leave your room. Remain sitting at your table and listen. Do not even listen, simply wait. Do not even wait. Be quite still and solitary. The world will freely offer itself to be unmasked. It has no choice. It will roll in ecstasy at your feet."
Mm-hmm.
Martin. Life's splendor forever lies in wait about each one of us in all its fullness, but veiled from view, deep down, invisible, far off. It is there, though, not hostile, not reluctant, not deaf. If you summon it by the right word, by its right name, it will come.
Tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Success in circuit lies. Too brilliant for our brief command, the truth's superb surprise. As lightning to the children is eased with explanation kind, the truth must dazzle gradually, or every man be blind.
Soon it's gonna rain. I can see it. Soon it's gonna rain. I can't tell. Soon it's gonna rain. What are we gonna do? Soon it's gonna rain. I can't feel it. Soon it's gonna rain. I can't tell. Soon it's gonna rain. What'll we do with you? We'll find four limbs of a tree. We'll bind it open leaves. Then duck inside to stay. Then we'll let it rain. We'll not feel it. Then we'll let it rain. Rain pell-mell, and we'll not complain. If it never stops at all, we'll live and love within our own folds.
Change of pace that amuses me deeply, also makes me very sad. It's by Billy Collins, it's called The Lanyard. The other day as I was ricocheting slowly off the blue walls of this room, bouncing from typewriter to piano, from bookshelf to an envelope lying on the floor, I found myself in the L section of the dictionary, where my eyes fell upon the word lanyard. No cookie nibbled by a French novelist could send one more suddenly into the past. A past where I sat on a workbench at a camp by a deep Adirondack lake, learning how to braid thin plastic strips into a lanyard, a gift for my mother. I had never seen anyone use a lanyard, or wear one if that's what you did with them. But that did not keep me from crossing strand over strand again and again until I had made a boxy red and white lanyard for my mother. She gave me life and milk from her breast, and I gave her a lanyard. She nursed me in many a sick room, lifted teaspoons of medicine to my lips, set cold face cloths on my forehead, then led me out into the airy light and taught me to walk and swim, and I in turn presented her with a lanyard. Here are thousands of meals, she said, And here is clothing and a good education. And here is your lanyard, I would like, which I made with a little help from a counselor. Here is a breathing body and a beating heart, strong legs, bones and teeth, and two clear eyes to read the world, she whispered. And here, I said, is a lanyard I made at camp. And here I wish to say to her now is a smaller gift, not the archaic truth that you can never repay your mother, but the rueful admission that when she took the two-toned lanyard from my hands, I was as sure as a boy could be that this useless, worthless thing I wove out of boredom would be enough to make us even.
To attempt to recite a Joni Mitchell song as a poem, and I hadn't prepared this, so I hope I remember all the words. It's called Jericho, and I heard this song when I was a sophomore in college in 1976, and it really spoke to me. I'll try to keep myself open up to you. That's a promise that I made to love when it was new. Just like Jericho, I said, let these walls come tumbling down. I said it like I finally found a way to keep the good feelings alive. I said it like it was something to strive for. I'll try to keep myself open up to you and approve your self-expression. I need that too. I need your confidence. And the gift of your extra time. In turn, I'll give you mine. It's a rich exchange, it seems to me. It's a warm arrangement. Anyone will tell you just how hard it is to make and keep a friend. Maybe they'll short sell you, or maybe it's you, Judas, in the end, when you just can no longer pretend that you're getting what you need, or that you're giving out anything for them to grow and feed on. I'll try and keep myself open up to you. It gets easier and easier to do. Just like Jericho, I said, let these walls come tumbling down. Let all these dogs go running free, the wild and the gentle dogs kenneled in me.
Note left to my stupid neighbor who made a twice flat tire on my car. Of course, he doesn't leave any evidence who did, but I absolutely the next neighbor get bothered by parking. I even legally parked every time. God does everything in his time. Therefore, you should patiently wait for the salvation of the Lord. Then the Lord, I quote, me. The next day, after he read the note, he came back to our neighborhood. Then I told him, asking him, if you're a Christian, obviously, his car has two crosses inside the car. Then he said, no. Then I switched the way to accuse him by mentioning three strike laws in California. The first incident, the second incident, there is no punishment or only warning will be to be given, but third time, a severe punishment will be given. I told him, And the first time he started to talk to me by pretending he's just an eyewitness of what happened on my four tires, because pretty much famous happening in my neighborhood. When he started talking to me, what happened on my car? Then I started to talk about three strikes law, and then end of my declaration about that, he ran back to his house. So, just, you be God as yourself. That's the way you be yourself, then you be happy with you. That's what I did from my experience. This third flat tire incident have never happened to me so far. And I'm happy about that, to prevent for the future stupid negative activity against me. Then the stupid guy is blue-eyed Latino. And he works as a handyman, so he don't make much money. Then obvious, I don't work. I park hella long straight 1 week and from street cleaning to street cleaning. So he just jails and do that kind of negative thing. Then I fight him back to prevent the stupid thing should not happen to me again. So.
Thank you, Oscar. Does anyone have something that they haven't yet had a chance to share?
Yeah, I'm a little caught off guard being a week back, just back from vacation, but I didn't know we were doing this, but here's a little song that I've lived my entire life with. My father was a social worker at Grand Central Station in New York, and before the McCarthy era, when I was very, very young, people in his office made progressive ditties on records. So here's a progressive ditty. I'm proud to be me, but I also see you're just as proud to be you. We may look at things a bit differently, but lots of good people do. That's just human nature, so why should I hate you for being as human as I? We'll get as we give if we live and let live, and we'll both get along if we try. I'm proud to be me, but I also see you're just as proud to be you. It's true, you're just as proud to be you.
Still takes forever to find me. Chapter 2 of my life. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. And it still takes a long time to find me. Chapter 3 of my life. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open, I know where I am, it's my fault, I get out immediately. Chapter 4 of my life. I walk down the street, there's a big hole in the sidewalk, I walk around it. Chapter 5 of my life. I walk down another street.
I wonder if there's a way at the website to have a list of the poems and their authors, and for those which haven't been published in the text, in the spirit of non-attachment.
Actually, they are being recorded, so it will be posted on the website, everything that's been spoken today. But I don't believe we actually have a system for doing
that's
anything.
That's good enough.
Yeah.
Send it in to Michael Langdon, was here. He's the editor of the newsletter. I mean, your poem was probably
who does?
For the newsletter.
Does anybody feel heard who wanted to be heard? I will close then with a reading from Rilke that I would like to dedicate to our brothers at Dorielli today. Have patience with everything that is unsolved in your heart, and try to cherish the questions themselves, like closed rooms, and like books written in a very strange tongue. Do not search now for the answers which cannot be given you, because you could not live them. It is a matter of living everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then, gradually, without noticing it, one distant day, live right into the answer. Sex is difficult, yes, but it is the difficult that is enjoined upon us. Almost everything serious is difficult, and everything is serious. That sounds like Rilke. If you only recognize that and contrive yourself, out of your own disposition and nature, out of your experience and childhood and strength, to achieve an entirely individual relationship to sex, not influenced by convention and custom, then you need no longer fear to lose yourself and become unworthy of your best position. Thank you all. We have some announcements.
Hi, I'm Jack. Every other month I make an announcement about sending out the newsletter, and that's what we need to do today. So I'd like some volunteers to help collate and stamp and label. But I also just wanted to mention that I make this announcement every other month, and I'm the last person in the line of a lot of other people that contributed to making this. I just want to mention that. As Jim said, Michael Langdon is the editor. Jim and others have done heroic efforts in transcribing many of the talks that go into the newsletter. Michael Gable formats it and does all the graphics and gets it to the printer. Todd Pope and Robin Levitt both manage the labels that go to regular recipients and prisoners, which are about two-thirds of the 250 we're sending out now. So there's a lot of people that are involved in that, which are all representing us. And I just wanted to note them. So if 8 or 10 people could help, it goes quickly, and it's a few minutes after a social time up there. Thank you.
I'm Paul, and I'm your host for the day, and there's some refreshments outside. There's hot water for tea. Please wash your teacups when you're through and put them on the shelves. There's a donor bowl that will be passed around. There's a suggested donation of $5 to $8, but you needn't donate anything, or you can donate more. There's a sign-up sheet for anyone who's new outside, and you can say whether you want to get the email, the newsletter emailed to you, or a hard copy, and whether you... Is there a separate list for the directory? Or whether you want to be on the directory. Any other host announcements from you? Pastor, present host. Oh, and some people gather for lunch, and they gather by the front door or outside. And I would like a ride to 655 Page Street, which is between Fillmore and Steiner, if anyone's going over there. I'm the host, so I have to stay around for a little while. That's where I have to get eventually. And I'd like to be able to do most of my host duties anyway, and to leave. So if anyone, you know, maybe a little bit.
name is Michael, and I'm coordinating the annual GVF retreat, and it's coming up in a little less than 2 months, September 19th through the 21st, at Vajrapani Institute, which is in the Santa Cruz Mountains. We already have 12 registrants, and the program is developing nicely. There was a monk who spoke here a couple months back named John Jup, who lives at Vajrapani, and he's going to give a Dharma talk. Ray Dyer is going to share some of the mindful touch experience that he does. And I'm working on a well-known choreographer who shall remain nameless, Vidar Sangha, who may do some sort of movement. I'm fully committed to that. And of course, silent sitting and walking together. And really, to me, the character of the retreat, at least last year, was a lot of the poignancy and intimacy of this kind of experience today. So I encourage you to consider that. There should be registration forms out there. If they're not, I'll make sure they are there next to the Dharma bowl. And feel free to ask any questions. I'll be out there during the social time.
I've made this announcement before. This Friday and Saturday at Davies, the San Francisco Choral Society is going to do a rousing job of presenting Benjamin Britten's War Requiem. Mr. William Childs, who's a great tenor, is going to be also singing. It is a big piece. It's just enormously difficult and quite gorgeous, so I recommend it. Do you have any other things you want to add?
The poetry in this, it's very... This work is big, and it's also very intimate and compact. And he interspersed some beautiful poems by Wilfred Owen, anti-war poems. So I think Wilfred Owen died in World War I.
He died 2 weeks before the end.
Yeah, so it's an extremely moving piece. I've seen it performed live 3 times in my life, and each time has been quite memorable. It has a profound effect on its audience. So please, if you can, come.
When and where?
It's at Davies Hall, Friday and Saturday evenings. I think both performances are there.
Which dates?
This coming.
August 1st and 2nd.
Thank you.
You can get tickets at City Box Office.
Or at the
Google City Box Office.
And I'm Howard, and with the program committee. But before I make a program committee announcement, I was really going to wonder if I could ask David Axel. David, if you would write out that poem.
Is that because you'd like to have what she's having?
Yes.
It reminded me of something.
I need it on paper. I'm a part of the program committee. There are other members of the program committee here today. Pretty good representation. Dean and Baruch, Jim, and anyone else? Two of our members are on vacation. We're responsible for the program here at GBF. Speakers, thematic ideas. And we solicit all of those speakers and ideas from you, the Sangha. So we encourage you to seek us out. If you've come across a teacher of the Dharma that you found really meaningful and inspirational, we encourage you to refer that person to us. We'll do the legwork to get them to present. We're also in transition. I think many of our members have come to some completion in their work on the program committee, and some new spaces are opening up. So if it's an idea that brings you serving in that capacity in the Sangha, and it brings you joy and happiness around which you can have laughter and celebration, talk to any of us about your interest in becoming a part of the program committee.
More announcements? Let's join in a circle for a dedication of merit.
by the power and truth of our practice here today, may all beings take the opportunity of existence to become free.
Thank you for listening to the Gay Buddhist Forum. If you would like to hear several new talks per month and be notified of upcoming speakers so you can participate live, please subscribe to this podcast, like us on Facebook, and join our mailing list by visiting gaybuddhist.org.